Turn with me, please, to Psalm 41. We'll be reading from the New King James. Psalm 41, we'll note, Scripture notes, this is a Psalm of David. God moved David to write, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Jehovah will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be Jehovah, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." As we see this psalm, we might be tempted to wonder, what was the situation in which David found himself when God moved him to write this? There were particular circumstances in which he was found, but God has not seen fit to record them. Oh, we could perhaps consider several different situations in David's life. We could think about the history we know, reading about the difficulties in which he was finding himself. We could think of him perhaps being chased and hated by Saul. Or another that might quickly come to mind is when his son Absalom rebelled against him, and one of his two chief counselors, one of his very most trusted friends, he thought, Ahithophel, betrayed him. Well, whatever the situation, David was in deep trouble here. But he looked to Jehovah to save and deliver him. Now, this is useful for us, you see. Let us not be thinking that somehow it is good for us to give praise. It is good for us to give thanks. It is good for us to be praying for others. But it is some species, some sort of selfishness and egoism for us to pray for ourselves. I've heard people say this. I've heard people say that somehow it's wrong and selfish and egoistic to ask others to pray. Ask others to pray for oneself. How ridiculous. Or to ask God to be helping oneself. How absurd. David himself, moved by the Holy Spirit, did just this. He looked to Jehovah, the covenant God, his Savior. He looked to him in faith. He saw his own sin. We read about this here. He saw his own problem, somewhat perhaps, brought upon himself by himself. But he looked beyond them in faith to God, his Savior. And I dare say, the king, being a prophet, furthermore looked to the second person of the Trinity in particular, the one who would come from his own loins, as was promised to David, and we read about that in 2 Samuel 7, when God promised David that although he could not build God a house, That would be left up to David's son Solomon. Yet God would build him an everlasting house, and therein was the promise of the coming Savior. Now, in the midst of trouble and difficulty, we can only pray to God, and David only could, because this psalm ultimately looks to that one to whom David was looking. Ultimately, this psalm speaks of Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder if sometimes people hearing our meditations, Larry's and mine, over the internet, think that we are reaching. We might be, or we might fear that we were it not for the fact that we have the assurance in general that the Psalms speak of Christ. Jesus himself has said so in Luke 24, verse 44. But Jesus himself, on the very night in which he was betrayed, the night before his crucifixion, when he was giving out his last Passover supper and beginning the Lord's Supper for his people, on that very night, he quoted from this psalm as he was about to hand or to give over the dipped piece of bread to Judas. He quoted from verse 9 here. And how do we know that? Because it's recorded for us in John chapter 13, verse 18. The scriptures must be fulfilled when they say, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. All this psalm speaks of Jesus Christ. He is the one who was remembered by his God there at the cross, and not suffered to die and remain in the grave. God lifted him. God delivered him, preserved him, and made him live again. He is blessed on the earth, and he sends blessing from heaven. He was strengthened, sustained, raised from the grave, raised from this earth to sit in high heavenly places. Now, someone might say, how in the world could this psalm apply to our sinless Savior, who is said in the book of Hebrews to be holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, when this psalm says, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you? Jesus never committed sin. That last statement is indeed the case. But he had the legal liability. He had the legal responsibility for the guilt of his people. He willingly took that upon himself. The Father willingly allowed him to take that upon himself. He took the penalty, though he did not commit the sin. He was holy, but he was guilty, in order that we, who were polluted and profane, might be made righteous and might be able to call him the Lord, our righteousness. You can think of him where enemies are surrounding him, perhaps as the Romans and the mixed crowd are dragging him away from Gethsemane, as he is mocked in his kangaroo trials before, well, first the little select group and then the full Sanhedrin in a mockery of justice. You can see him as he is led out by Pilate to be displayed before a fickle crowd, which a week before had cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, and now cries out, Crucify, Crucify. They speak lies of him. They wish him dead. They cry out for his death. And even Judas, one of the 12, he had lifted up his heel against him. But the Lord Jehovah did raise him up. The wicked are repaid. That happened in A.D. 70. But we read that, I know that you are well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me, there in verse 11. The grave could not hold him, as Paul teaches in Romans 1, verse 4. He is shown to be the Son of God with power by His resurrection from the dead. Indeed, His Father upheld Him in His integrity and set Him before His face forever. For He lives and reigns in heaven and is bringing all things under His own feet. It's no wonder David was moved to write, and we are moved to sing, I hope, with appropriately, how shall I put this, consecrated, I guess, hearts. Blessed be Jehovah God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And we will sing that, as well as some verses before that, as we turn to Psalm 41 in our psalm books and use portion B.